Places I could be, but there's no place I'd rather be here in the house of the Lord. While you're on your feet, going to give the opportunity to go around, greet one another. There'll be an usher at the back with an offering plate. Just so good to see you here in the house of the Lord. Take opportunity to shake a hand, hug a neck. Just tell them you're happy to see them here tonight.
Lord, we give you glory, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to remain standing as we go to the Lord in prayer. I want to do things just a little bit different. Sometimes variety is good. I know sometimes we spend more time, there's nothing wrong with us going through the process of making requests, but sometimes the amount of time that we spend making a request and going throughout the congregation far exceeds the amount of time we spend praying for the request. And so if you have a need in the house, just slip up your hand. We're not going to call upon you tonight. God knows every individual need. He knows every individual circumstance. He knows everything that we're going through, everything that we're dealing with. He knows. And so what I want us to do is I want us to just take some time, and I don't want us to really take a lot of time asking God for things. I want us just to take time praising God and thanking God for His goodness. Spend some time adoring Him and thanking Him for all He's done in our lives, all the prayers that He's answered already, all the things that... Let's build our faith a little bit, can we? And before we do that, Brother Bill, I asked him before service, he's got a testimony about what we've been praying concerning, and so we're going to give him an opportunity to tell you, and then we're going to pray. All right, Brother Bill?
Praise the Lord. I want to build on what Brother Wells just did, and I believe this goes right along with it. I apologize. I am out of breath. But, you know, during the last 9 months, I've been contemplating on a lot of things. You know, we overcome by the word of our testimony. And I've been thinking of all the things that God has done for me and how He's brought me through and how He's been such a great and mighty God. And then as Christians, when we're blessed and we know we're blessed and we know we serve a good God, we walk a fine line of when we share this, am I bringing myself glory or am I giving God glory? And I told God through all of this, I said, God, I know you're going to heal me. And when you do, I want to make sure I give you the glory. I don't want any glory at all because of I felt like I've had 9 months of dark nights. But you know what? He is the great light of the world. Amen. And his light shone on my darkness. And amen. And where would we be whenever Jesus looked at the one and said, didn't I heal 10? And there's only one of you returning? Where are the other 9? I don't want to be the other 9. I want to be the one that comes back and say, praise God, my God is good, and my God healed me. I don't know how, but he healed me. And that is my testimony tonight. I've gone through several months of testing, and I mean, from my big toe all the way to the top of my head. And I do thank God that they finally gave me a diagnosis, and I believe that with the diagnosis they gave me, I'm going to have a full recovery. Amen. It's going to be still a long road ahead of me, but God is in control. Amen. I've got a pathway now to recovery, and I thank God for that. And I just thank God that he never fails us. And no matter what your need is tonight, you can always hold on that my God is always there. I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm not super Christian. I was on my knees going, God, where are you? You know, God, is this the end? But then at the same time, I can tell you where just this week, when I had to go through a test that I told God, I prayed the night before. I said, God, I can't do this. I've tried it already, and I had to stop. I just couldn't do it. I said, God, I cannot do this test. And I said, I'm just going to have faith that you're going to lead me through and you're going to take over. I said, you got to take over, God, because I have to have this test. And when I went in there, a peace came upon me, and the vision that came upon me was the fiery furnace. And I felt like I was going through the fiery furnace, but I didn't feel the flames. But I felt the one, the fourth, that was like the Son of God. Amen. I felt Jesus there with me the whole time, so much so that I almost fell asleep in the test. And I'm being honest, I almost fell asleep. And then when the test was over, it was almost, really? I was just really starting to get a good sleep here, you know? But God brought me through that, and that's what kind of a God we serve. He is there no matter how big or how small a need. Our God is there. And I'm here to tell you that if we would just stop and just praise him, get our mind off our need. And I had to do that so many times. Say, God, I'm sick, but I'm going to get my mind off. I'm just going to think of you, God. And when you do that, it gets your mind off all your troubles and it gets your mind on the way maker. Amen. He is our way maker. Can we do that?
Amen. Brother? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love your name. The power that's in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are good. You are so good. Oh, thank you for every answered prayer. Jesus, oh God, you are so good, you are so good, hallelujah, Jesus, you are good, oh I'm grateful, Lord, for your goodness, thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
surely heal me to the uttermost when I think about the Lord. How he picked me up, he turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground.
Bless you for standing. You may be seated. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I do want to remind you this coming Sunday, regularly scheduled services on Sunday morning and then Sunday night. We are having our Faith and Family Night down at Knights Park, and from beginning at 5 o'clock and going until dark. And we're planning to have a bags tournament together and a potluck dinner. There is a sign-up sheet at the back. There's still some places to be filled in. And so it's very general, just basically asking you some to bring a main dish, some to bring a side dish, dessert, bread, drink, that sort of stuff. So if you would sign up and help us make sure all of those particular items are going to be brought, we would so much appreciate it, and we're just looking forward to having a great time together. The tournament we will do like last time, we'll do a you come, put your name in, and we'll draw teammates, so we won't have any, you know, ringer teams, if you will. It'll just be a lot of fun together, and just looking forward to that. We may shorten the game duration to make sure that we are able to get all the games in the time frame. Last time we kind of ran into some darkness before we got done, but we'll have all that organized and ready to go. You just need to bring yourself and some food, and you might want to bring a lawn chair. There's park benches there under the pavilion and benches throughout the park, but you may want to bring a lawn chair, and you may want to bring some insect repellent, and hopefully they're calling for rain the day before, but hopefully there won't be rain on the day of. If there is, if we determine Sunday afternoon that the weather's not going to be conducive, then we will move things here to the church and just have a good time together here at the church. But just want to let you know that that is coming up and will happen this coming Sunday. We are continuing in our study. We have entitled Saving Truth. And we subtitled it. Do we have it? It's coming. We subtitle it Saving the Truth That Saves Us. Saving the truth that saves us. Last week, we talked a little bit about the culture that we live in, a culture of confusion, a culture that doesn't really recognize, if you will, or if they do recognize, they really don't care, for the most part, what truth is. In a post-truth culture, if you will, they may readily recognize or even affirm that there is an objective truth, but they feel that objective truth is subject to their own feelings, to their own opinions, to the way they think things should be or are to be. And so it's a challenge for us as Christians. It's a challenge because in this post-truth culture, if you will, they really don't care. And if they do care, it's a caring in the sense of, well, you do your thing, we'll do our thing, and you leave us alone. But they won't leave us alone. And that's why it's important about what we're gonna. That's why what we're going to talk about tonight is so very important, because we as Christians, and I'm going to use that term tonight, but I want you to understand when I'm saying the word Christian, I'm not just talking about someone who says, "Well, I'm a Christian." I'm talking about someone who endeavors to truly live a life that is Christ-like. Okay, someone who is a true believer, not in word only, but someone who desires to emulate, to express in their lifestyle that they follow after the principles and the precepts of the Word of God, okay? So for the remainder of tonight, I want us, when we think about the term Christian, and we're going to talk about some ways in which even those who may call themselves true believers or would readily affirm their Christianity, how if we are not careful, we can add to the confusion. We can even cause and create confusion in our interaction with other people. In an attempt to save truth by expressing our opinion, or in an attempt to express what truth is or what means to us, if it's not done in the correct manner, we can actually do more destruction than good. Say, is that possible? Yes, it is. The way we go about it, the way we express ourselves, the way that we affirm in our lifestyle or not affirm in our lifestyle, what we call or want to convey as truth to everyone else, it matters how we do that. And it matters so much that the way in which we do that, if we are not careful, will add more confusion to an already confused culture. So I want us to look at a passage of Scripture. Focus verse for tonight. It's Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I'm going to read it again. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Those, and can we say this? Those who are living in this post-truth culture, those that are, according to this scripture, without. They're without what it truly means to have truth in their life. They are without. Apostle Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Make sure the way that you walk is in wisdom. And make sure what you say is done in grace and it's seasoned with salt. Make sure it's something that will not cause them, in a sense of the way that it is presented or the way that I handle it, something that will not cause them to immediately reject and turn away from. So let's talk about this. I like this quote. A Christian is a mind through which Christ thinks, a heart through which Christ loves, a mouth through which Christ speaks, and a hand through which Christ helps. You really want to know what a Christian is, somebody who is going to be Christ-like. In other words, I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm going to have the heart of Christ. I'm going to have the mouth of Christ. I'm going to have the hands of Christ. Everything that I do, say, and a part of, I'm going to seek and desire that it emulates Christ. That when I'm thinking about things, I'm thinking like Christ. When I'm feeling or having emotions, or I'm dealing with the heart or the essence of my being, it's Christ-like. When I'm saying words, they're Christ-like. When I'm helping, it's Christ-like. So let's go into it a little bit. As true Christians, we cannot contribute to the confusion. Now is the time for compassionate yet uncompromised truth. We can ill afford to add to the confusion. That only makes matters worse. So what we have to do, and it's sometimes a difficult balance, if you will. And it's only by the grace of God and the help of God and the Spirit of God leading us can we do this. We have to be compassionate yet uncompromising. We have to express love. It has to be set in grace, seasoned with salt, but it also has to be wise. What did Jesus say? In the sense of I send you out, you've got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. It's incumbent upon us as Christians, and by that term I mean true believers, it's incumbent upon us that we are a compassionate people. And if we are not careful, we allow this culture to deaden us and to numb us and to make us feel like we have to be combative, or we have to do this us versus them, and we have to express ourselves. And if we are not careful, truth that we want to save, we can hurt and destroy. So yes, it is vitally important. Yes, it is something that we all need to be aware of. So let's look at two ways, if you will. Christianity has aided in the confusion. Ways that we, even some who would consider themselves to be true believers, ways that we have aided in the confusion. For one, by compromising the clarity of Scripture for the sake of acceptance and to avoid conflict. You say, well, that's really not in our, you know, we don't deal with that. Oh, yes, we do. Whether we want to align it to an organization or we want to align it to a particular denomination or even our own personal beliefs and convictions, if we are not careful in this society, we will compromise. We will forsake the clarity of Scripture for acceptance or for the feeling of being liked or that everybody loves me or I can get along with everybody. But understand there's a balance, and we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about how to do this, how to be compassionate yet uncompromising, where we don't compromise truth, where we don't seek to try to be palatable to everybody so that everybody can just feel like they're all right. Here's the second way. We're going to go into these details. By indulging the practice of vilifying or condemning those with whom they disagree. You don't see it my way, and so you're over there and I'm over here. So the way that you and I are going to come at each other is going to be combative. I'm going to vilify what you do. I'm going to condemn what you do. I'm going to use Scripture to show you the error of your ways. We're not careful. It's not done in love. It's not done in the correct way. It will be immediately rejected. So these are the ways that you and I, as Christians, if we are not careful, cannot do what we need to do in saving truth. Where we will, in some sense of the word, forfeit what truth is. Or demean or diminish what truth actually is and how it can actually help in the heart and life of someone else. Let's look at these. These two ways, kind of broke them down. Compromise, desiring to be liked, to be seen as tolerant, and to feel accepted. Exchanging the plain of truth or the plain truth of Scripture for cultural comforts. Man, that just doesn't preach well in our day. Pastor just doesn't, you talk along those lines and you preach along those lines and that doesn't tickle the ears of people and that doesn't make them feel good about themselves. So maybe you should avoid those Scriptures or you should try to steer them a little bit different and soften that so it's a little bit more palatable to them and make it sugarcoat it a little bit. Make it sweet to the taste and make it something that they can readily accept. We're not careful, we'll compromise. We're not careful, we'll acquiesce to their feelings and to their opinions. And we'll make objective truth subjective to how they feel or how we want them to feel. I don't get too many amens, but this is how it works. All of a sudden, we start thinking, making things more acceptable. We start compromising, and instead of being plain about what the Bible says concerning things. And there's a way to be plain about it without being condemning. We're going to talk about that. There's a way to express truth. The Bible gives, speak the truth in love. And so there is a way to go about it without compromising. There is a way to express truth and live truth and exemplify truth in our lives without compromising, without capitulating, without thinking, well, how is it going to make them feel? It's not up to feelings. When we start allowing feelings to get into the picture, guess what? Things become subjective. Compromise ensues. Condemnation. Using Scripture to bludgeon in a us versus them battle. Here's what happens when we do that. When we attempt to bludgeon people with Scripture, and we may have it may be there in black and white, and we may be able to take them to verse, and we may even be able to quote it. But if we are not careful, we don't do that in a loving, compassionate way, guess what? It will repel them. We make it so unwelcoming, it repels those who need it.
You say, well, where's the balance in this, Pastor? How do you do that? How do you not get so far one way or the other? How do you not become so compassionate, if you will, that you compromise and you just want to love and be tolerant of everything and be accepted? But on the other hand, you don't want to be so hard-nosed and so, just so fist-pounding that, hey, you got to do it this way. Because either extreme is not beneficial. Either extreme will hurt and will not accomplish what we intend to do in saving truth, in helping people understand the answers to their questions. You see, there's a lot of times when people ask a question, but they don't really ask the question wanting an answer because they've already made up their mind. They've already determined. What they're really doing is fishing for how you're going to respond. What they're really doing is trying to find out, are you going to come back at me? You ever known somebody like that? You know they're gonna ask a question. I think it was Timothy who Paul said, hey, avoid foolish and unlearned questions with gender strife. Don't entertain that stuff. There's been times in my life, people, I know they've come to me with a question. I know the catalyst for their question. They've already made up their mind. They already have their opinion. They just want to know if we can spar. Can we go back and forth a little bit? All right, I'm already settled on the way I believe it. So I'm going to ask a question just to kind of bait the trap to see if you'll come in and we can go at it for a while. Be careful. Be careful. Understand that there are people you're going to interact with and I'm going to interact with, whether it be on the workplace, whether it be in our social circles or whatever. Understand this. They're not really wanting an answer to their question. Wanting to know how you're going to respond. And if you respond correctly, guess what? Could be that they'll start reconsidering their own question. That's the beauty of it. If you respond correctly, and you are compassionate, and you are loving, and you are, in a way, accommodating to them without compromising truth and without being combative, guess what? Many times as it progresses and they try to lure you in again and again and you're still grace seasoned with salt. You're still walking in wisdom. You're still entertaining their question, if you will, but not because you want to prove your answer correct, but because you understand they're precious people who have a soul. I'm not trying to prove me right and you wrong. I'm trying to let truth. Let's talk about compromise. Your actions, behaviors, and lifestyle meant to convey the truth of Scripture are subject to our feelings and the desire to be accepted. We are already trending the way of a confused world. We're just not as far gone. Think about that. If our actions, our behavior, our lifestyle is going to be subject to our feelings, we want to be accepted. We want to be liked. We want everybody to agree with us. If our actions and our lifestyle and our behavior, we begin to compromise and we begin to let down things and we begin to consider some convictions and so on and so forth, if we're not careful, catch this, if we're not careful, in doing so, we're already trending. We're already making some concessions. We're already backtracking, if you will. If we're not careful, what the eventual outcome of that is, we're just as confused as they are. We're not that far gone yet, but we're on the same path. They're just further down the road. They've just compromised so much that they're so confused. And maybe they're reaching back looking for some answers. And I choose to compromise. I choose to give in to some convictions. I choose because I want to win them. Careful. You got to be so careful that in the attempt to win others, we don't lose ourselves. And there's a balance, and that's what I'm trying to get at. There's a balance in that. There's a balance in making sure that it's with grace, seasoned with salt, I'm walking in wisdom. Compromise is a vacuum that, as increased, will draw one into the prevailing whirlwind of confusion and will leave destruction in its wake. I know it's not an immediate thing. It's just as it increases, and as I compromise here and I compromise there and I compromise over here, before long it creates this vacuum in my life, and all of a sudden the compromise just begins to grow and begins to increase. And I look back, and things that I used to hold as being true and things that I used to love dearly in my life now don't mean so much anymore. Now I don't relish them like I used to. Now they don't have their appeal to me anymore. I'd rather continue to walk this way. And before long, my careful destruction is left in the way. Now I'm confused myself. Now I'm wondering, seeking answers. Looking forward in a society that is confused. Society doesn't have the answers. What about condemnation? What about the other extreme? That self-righteous, I am right and everybody else is wrong, and I have Bible to prove it. It's all well and good. I'm glad you got Bible. I'm glad you know Bible. Just be careful how you wield the sword. Careful, because those scriptures that are meant to enlighten and bring revelation and reveal love and truth and help and strength, if you're not careful, the word is powerful. Understand that. Just because I know scripture and have scripture to back it up, and I'm in no shape, way, or form demeaning scripture or taking away from its credibility, but understand, sometimes what I say is only as credible as the messenger who says it. Confused culture is quick to be angered and, as a result, combative. Think about it. I mean, we're seeing it all the time now. They can't even have an open discussion many times at our supposed institutions of higher learning without riots breaking out, without people destroying property, without people lobbing obscenities back and forth at each other. You can't even have a viable discussion. Can't even agree to disagree anymore. Why? Because we're so confused that confusion quickly becomes anger. As a result, we become combative. We're seeing it all in our society. This is the trend. This is the way things happen. And if we think in that sense we're going to fight fire with fire, it's not going to happen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not going to be able to get down in the mud and swing with them. That's not what the intent is. If we ever try to do that, guess what? The truth that we want to save will end up destroying. And it will repel them. And the only thing it will do is make them more angry and more confused. Shrapnel of hasty and angry explosions wound real people. Catch that. Oh, it made me so mad. They said this and they made this statement about this thing that I just believe in so strong. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, man, I just pulled my blood, Pastor. I just couldn't take it anymore. Wait a second. I've said this many times. Same Holy Ghost which looses our tongue is the same Holy Ghost which should keep our tongue. We got to be careful, because that truth that I love and that truth that I want to see implemented in their life, if I'm not careful the way I say it and I'm not careful the way I go about it, it can be destructive. All of a sudden, think about this. Further damage is inflicted upon people who are already suffering from the effects of sin. They're already hurting. They're asking the question. Because they're confused. And they're angry because they're confused. And they don't know how to reach out, and they don't know how to respond other than what sin is propelling them to do. So they're combative. So they're insulting. So they make accusations. So all of a sudden they want to take it to a personal level. They want to call names, and they want to, please be careful. Please understand. We must express our convictions without degrading anyone and see others as precious people, not targets. not targets.
Oh, I got a good one for him. Oh, he said, but I got something for him.
Be careful what you got for him. Because it could explode on you and wound both of you. It could wound a relationship. It could cause irreparable damage where you will never have another opportunity to speak life into that life. So be careful. There's power of life and death in the tongue. Choose your words wisely. Walk in wisdom with those who are without. Let your speed always be grace seasoned with salt. Careful how you do it. Careful that you're not combative with your words. Careful that you're not putting on the gloves. They're precious people. They're not targets. As convoluted as they may be, as depraved their mindset may be, as off the wall and as absurd as it seems to you and I, the way they feel or the way they talk or the kind of verbiage they use, I had every right to come back at them. You should have heard what they said. Careful. Careful. Titus 3:2. Speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. Speak evil of no man, gentle and meek to all men. Well, Pastor, they're so far afield from what I believe. They're not even close. They got all these, they're just messed up. Yes? May be true. But you're not going to fix them with being combative with them. You're not going to fix them by being angry. And you're not going to fix it by having this explosive dialogue. They are not. People judge the credibility of the message by the integrity of the messenger. That's huge. I'm having a bad day. And I just, you know, they just got on my last nerve. I realize we're human. I realize we deal with emotions. I realize those things happen in life, but please be careful. Please don't aid in the confusion. If you really want to save truth and you really want to make a difference in their life, even if you're having a bad day, be careful. That's why things like prayer and reading your Bible and devotion and getting your heart and mind right and your attitude right before you go and do the place of work or before you go in a social circle where you know there may be other people that would be combative or would challenge you or challenge what you believe. Be careful. Well, Pastor, I was just trying to help them. They just won't listen. They just won't hear it. All I wanted to do was show them and make them understand. That's what. They may not even be close to being there yet. The more I try, the more they get away. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do with you and your God and your religion and all that stuff you talk about. No, thank you. I got my own way of thinking. But if I can walk in wisdom, those who are without, my speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, there's opportunity. There's a chance that I could save truth for them. There's a chance that somewhere along the line there can be constructive dialogue and we can sit down and have a conversation. The gospel message of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation is proclaimed by those who seem to have little to none of these characteristics. This only aids in the confusion and causes more conflict. How can I present a gospel of love if my attitude is hateful? How can I present a God of compassion if I'm looking at him as a target instead of as a person who needs truth? How can I really preach about a God who wants to be reconciled through Jesus Christ, but yet I'm doing more to repel them than I am to reconcile them? Careful. I realize this becomes more and more difficult in the society in which we live as they become more confused and they become more angry and they become more combative. But understand this. The way forward is to temper both. Both a desire to be liked and accepted, and a desire to take a self-righteous stance. He that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. And so we need to understand there's got to be a balance between that. Can't bludgeon people with Scripture because I'm self-righteous and I know they're wrong and they need to know that they're wrong. On the same hand, I can't be so wanting to be liked and accepted that I'm willing to take the plain truth of Scripture and try to make it a little bit more palatable. Well, let's just see, there's extremes both ways. Really, the path forward, the way to save truth, the way to really represent truth in the right way to other people is to find that balance and to walk in that wisdom to those who are without and to make sure they understand. I won't compromise on the truth, but I won't do it in such a way that you ever feel that I'm being incompassionate or you ever feel I'm being combative or hateful towards you. You will always feel my love and you will always understand that I am reaching for you. Not shooting at you. Quote by Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley. Whatever weakens your reason, impairs your tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes your relish of spiritual things, in short, whatever increases the strength and authority of your body over your mind, that thing is sin to you. However innocent it may be, in itself. Could it be that in my interaction with someone, in my need to feel right, in my need to express my opinion, in my need to set somebody straight? And here's the thing, let's just say for what it is. In the society in which we live, social media provides this kind of a forum where we can just fling things out there. We can just, man, make our opinion known. There have been numerous times I had to tell somebody, listen, I mean, you got a right to express your opinion, but the way you express it matters so much. The way you go about saying it, well, it needs to be said. Well, okay, but make sure you're saying it correctly and make sure you're saying it in a heart of love. How many people have been turned off from what is, and this is one of those areas I'll use the term loosely, but what Christianity may seem to be. When they air something on social media, and then the righteous people get on there and all of a sudden start bludgeoning them. Do we really think that's constructive? Do we really think that that helps? Well, somebody needs to tell them. Maybe. But the way they tell them matters. Some people are immediately turned off and immediately repelled by us because of the way we go about it. So it matters. It matters. We can ill afford to add to the confusion. They're already confused. They're already angry. They're already combative. It doesn't take much to tip them off. It doesn't take much to flip that switch and all of a sudden, wah! So I've got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Be careful and tread lightly, but not compromise. Capitulate, not acquiesce to their feelings. Desires, not take the plain truth of Scripture and try to make it more palatable to them. No. Be compassionate yet uncompromised. Yes, that is a very difficult balance sometimes. That's why it's not something we will do in and of ourselves. That's why it's something we need the Holy Ghost to empower us to do. We need the Spirit of God working in our lives. That's why we need to pray and we need to read our Bibles and we need to do the things which build up ourselves, praying in this most holy faith. Passion. You ever wondered, as you read the Bible and see the teachings of Jesus, and if you think that Jesus was teaching so that people would find his words palatable, you need to read some of his words again. If you think that Jesus ever in his preaching was compromising or trying to make people feel good, you need to read his words again. So why was it that so many followed him? Why was it when he would say things like, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, or you have no part with me? Why was it that when he would tell people, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me? How did he have a following? How? It seems that some of the things that he said were just so, man, How did he do it? I tell you how he did it. Time and time again, as you read through the Bible, you will see there was one word that is attributed to Jesus numerous times. It is compassion. He had compassion upon the multitudes. He had compassion upon them. He had compassion. He was compassionate, yet uncompromising. And because of his compassion, because he cared and he expressed his care, and because he healed the hurting, and because he reached to those, and because he did what others would not do because they were so self-righteous, because he went and he ate with the sinners and the publicans, and they turned up their noses and said, "Oh, look at you, you're supposedly a prophet, and you eat with sinners and publicans." And he looks at them and says, "Hey, they that be whole need not a physician. Sick, hurting, and if you think that I'm going to take the pin out of a grenade of truth and just throw it in amongst them, whatever happens, happens. Crazy. It's not the way this thing works. It's compassion. Compassion. You want to know something which speaks volumes? It's compassion. Something that will turn, something that was said, I believe it was, I forget which one of the Roman emperors it was, but as Christianity was surging in the Roman Empire, they were astounded that even as they persecuted the Christians, many of those Christians would then turn to them and give them aid. Couldn't get it. They couldn't. It was so compelling that many of them turned to Christianity because the people that they were persecuting were turning around and having compassion on them. Passion speaks volumes. In a confused and angry world, in a culture that is reeling without answers, they need people who are compassionate. Look at what Jesus said. I know we've seen it numerous times, but it bears looking at again. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Question was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now think about what Jesus is doing. He is elevating the love of fellow man. He is elevating the love of humanity. He is elevating the love of others in line with the love of God. Think about who he's speaking to. Think about some of those that were in the audience, the self-righteous Pharisees and chief rulers who walked around and blew the trumpet when they gave alms and wore sackcloth and ashes when they fasted. Why? So they would be seen of men. All this self-righteous stuff, they're so far above the common people. But Jesus said, listen, the only way you truly love the Lord is if you love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm going to bring loving one another and loving humanity up there with loving God. And upon these two hang all the law and the prophets, all of them. So you better believe it matters how we handle it. But you better believe it matters whether or not our speech is always with grace, seasoned with salt. It certainly does. All people were made in the image of God, and Christ died for every one of us. Even that person. Even that individual that's views and their ideologies and their philosophies on life or religion or Christian, and everything that they say seems to be derogatory and inflammatory, and they're just accusatory and all these different things. Even those people, he died for. Even that individual was made in the image of God. Even that individual has an eternal destination. It's a person. It's someone that he died for. It's someone that he gave the ultimate sacrifice for. Be it far from me. Be it far from me to be someone who in any way, shape, or form be condemning to that individual or compromise the truth for which Jesus died. No. I'm going to be compassionate, yet uncompromising. I'm going to love them. I'm going to reach to them. I'm not shoot at them. I'm not
not going to aid in the confusion. I'm not going to repel them and be unwelcoming because I'm so hard and unmoved. No, I'm going to see them as hurting people who need someone to reveal truth unto them in the way, catch this, in the way it saves it and does not destroy it. All people must be treated with dignity and respect, even, or shall we say, especially when their ideas or behaviors challenge us or must be challenged by us. It's not that we don't ever challenge. It's not that we don't have conflict in the sense. It's just, is it done in the right way? Is it done with dignity and respect? Is it done in such a way that I value them as a person? I may think their opinion has absolutely no merit at all. Ever happened? You ever thought to yourself, where is this cat coming from? How in the world can anybody think this way? And it's almost, we're perplexed. How do individuals, where did this come from? I've talked to some people and I've just kind of sat there and nodded my head because, I don't know where that's coming from. At the same point in time, do I have what it takes inside of me as an individual, as a purveyor of truth, as someone who wants to reach into a lost world and help hurting people? Do I have what it takes to take all that assault, to take all that smiting, if you will, to take all that ridicule, mocking, take all those things that they're shoveling my way, and put up with all that stuff and do it with a smile? Oh, you say you need to sit there and take it? Just be careful. Make sure that your response is with dignity and respect. Make sure that your speech is always with grace, seasoned with salt. Sure. Because if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing to be cast down and trodden under the foot of men. I can't have speech that is seasoned with salt, and I can't do it in such a way that maybe what I have to say or the truth that is said is not palatable, but the way that I say it is, or the way that I express it is. And though, catch this, though initially they may reject, and though initially, and maybe even over a course of time, it doesn't seem like they ever weaken or the guard ever comes down, guess what? If I would understand, catch this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we just keep compassion yet uncompromising. Compassion yet uncompromising. Compassionate yet uncompromising. I'm still reaching. We cannot allow righteous indignation to become self-righteous rhetoric, thereby alienating those God intends for us to help. Oh, that's huge. Oh, it just makes me so mad. I see these things and I see it's people like this that are aiding in the confusion. It's people like this that are presenting paradigms and things that are not even close to being true. They know they're false. Oh, I just get so angry and righteous. I have every right to be angry. Well, you can, but sin not. Make sure that the way you respond and make sure that the way you go about it doesn't have a tinge of self-righteousness in it. Because if that happens, turn off. This posture's culture is confused and angry, often rejecting the message of truth. But remember, questions and controversies don't need answers. People do. People need answers. Confused, they're angry, they're often combative. Without even considering, sometimes they just reject it. It's so foreign, it's so alien to them. Never really encountered truth. It's all lies, it's all falsehoods, it's all deceits. They live in a world that they're surrounded by all that. That's the only thing they're used to. They need someone who will save truth for them. They need someone who will be an example in word and deed. Closing, you can stand to your feet. I don't want to aid in the confusion. I don't want to call somebody to be
turned off from truth because of the way I tried to turn it on. Think about that. I want to make sure that my speech is always with grace, seasoned with salt. And I'm looking at them as precious people that God died for. They're not targets. And as messed up as they are in their thinking, and as far out as their ideologies are, and as much as I feel that they're aiding in the confusion, and they're facilitating a lot of the falsehood that is in our society now, be careful. Be careful how you respond. Careful. Or you post that on social media. Be careful. Filter it through the Holy Ghost. Filter it through the Spirit. Is this something that's going to help? Or am I just lobbing a grenade in the discussion? I don't really care about the end result. Precious people, not targets. Lord Jesus, we love your word. We love your truth. And Lord, it pains us to see society in the way that it's going. And Lord, I know that as true believers, God, when we see many of these ideologies and these falsehoods that are blatantly presented as truths and things that people do and say, God, and sometimes direct accusations, Lord, and insults and mockery about what we teach and what we believe, God. And Lord, it's hard to stomach sometimes. But Lord, let us understand it's not a personal assault against us. It is a spiritual battle that is raging, Lord, and we must fight with fruit of the Spirit, God. We must be gentle. We must always have our speech with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may be able to walk with wisdom with those who are without, that we would save truth, that we would not add to the confusion, that we would not destroy the very thing that we know and understand can be that which saves them, God, that which heals them who are hurting people. Oh, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.